Welcome to the DB Media Podcast. I'm Brian, that's Dylan, and we do have some movies to be reviewing today, but I did not get around to watching Moana. I do apologize. Dylan did get around to watching it. I have stuff going on with my graduation. I graduate very soon and couldn't find time to watch it.
I think you're just a failure.
Yeah, that's probably it, too. That's what my dad said. No, I was kidding.
I'm going to wait. Brian's going to try and watch it sometime this week.
I'll do my best.
We're going to do we'll talk about it on the next episode. We do apologize for Brian's incompetence. But what I will say is that it's a great kids movie. If you haven't took your kids to see it, go watch it. It's a great movie. Next week, when we do go talk about it more, I'll bring the popcorn bucket. We can go over that too. But great kids movie. Really enjoyable.
If you'd like to see us do popcorn bucket reviews, we can always do that too.
Yeah. But moving on to your movie news.
I have some movie news. I think it's better news for me, really, because I don't see you liking any of this movie news. Yeah. So the new Saw movie has been postponed.
Why does that sound like good news for you?
Not good for me, but like it's all like related to movies that I like. This is bad news. But after Saw X, I was really pumped to see the next one because they amped it up to 11 during Saw X. One of my favorite Saw movies in the series, if not my favorite. It was so good. But I know you're not a big fan of Saw, but
I like the Saw movies.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh. You just assume because it's a horror movie you don't like it.
100% assume that. You just never been a horror guy. So
I'm not a horror guy, but I enjoy certain horror movies.
Okay. I mean, Nate, I'm not complaining. I love Saw too. Anyway.
That is a good one.
What?
I think I've seen up to like 4.
We're going to review those one day. Right. But next piece of news. Terrifier will be returning for Christmas. In another theatrical release, but it has bonus content during it. So, a longer, film probably.
Yeah, I'd rather just get the DVD and watch the deleted scenes.
I'll probably go back to theaters and watch it during Christmas, honestly. And this comes from...
That's the whole reason I want to get the Deadpool Wolverine DVDs, just so I can watch the deleted scenes.
Bonus content? I just rewatched that the other night. I believe this comes from CBR.com. An interview with Eli Roth, the guy who made Thanksgiving and Borderlands. He has officially confirmed that they are, they will be starting their Thanksgiving 2 script early March 2025. Yeah, I know you're not a big fan of that either, but I am so stoked for this movie. 2025, probably looking for a 2026, 2027 release, maybe. If not later, but I'm always down for it. And last piece of movie news, we got a first look at The Fisherman's Hook in I Know What You Did Last Summer, the next sequel to the I Know What You Did Last Summer series.
I thought there's only one of those.
There's three.
Three?
Yep.
I thought there's one.
Well, first one's the only one that's worth anything, honestly. But we got a first look at that, and I will be trying to put that in the video, so... Hopefully you're seeing this now. But yeah, that's all for movie news, really. Nothing major, just like to do a little bit of keeping everything updated. So which movie are we jumping into first? We got Dear Santa, Six Underground, and Nocturnal Animals.
The one we can collectively agree on is the worst, Dear Santa, so we'll go ahead and get that out of the way.
I'm down for that. Let's do that. All right. So hit me with your rating of Dear Santa, buddy.
2.5.
I gave it 2.5 as well. That's a solid. I didn't think we'd agree on that, but
yeah,
I thought you didn't rate it worse.
No,
it's an average Christmas movie. But go ahead.
Yeah. It had its moments. But I do believe that maybe not this movie. Well, yeah, actually, this movie is just part of the beginning of Jack Black's downfall.
Don't say that.
It is.
Because I know you weren't a fan of him in Borderlands, were you?
None of his jokes hit. Had they done the Borderlands movie right, he would have been perfectly cast as Claptrap. But I just... none of Jack Black's movies are hitting anymore.
Well,
Minecraft is going to have to be pretty big for him to get out of this.
I have such high hopes for that Minecraft movie. I think it's going to be such
a good
movie.
I don't think you should put high hopes into that movie.
I think it's going to be such a good movie. I cannot wait to watch. I'll punch a kid in the face to watch this movie.
I don't think it'll be worth that. But my oldest son's getting really into Minecraft. I'll probably take him to watch it.
That'll be... We'll make plans to go watch that one too, and I'll have to back out of that too.
Yeah.
No, I would like to go watch that. I'm really looking forward to that. This is a relatively new movie. We're not going to do spoiler freeze just because it's a free streaming movie. Yeah. If you want to watch it, you can watch it.
The kid in that, the main kid, like really all the kids are just bad actors.
Yes, they are. They're all bad actors. I think the main kid's the best one of all of them.
Maybe.
His friend, terrible. The female love interest, terrible. All his classmates, terrible. I mean, granted, whenever you're rating a kid's like performance, keep in mind they're children. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm not too harsh on them. But one thing that really bugged me about this movie, the teacher, who was a, kind of a dickhead, you know, the beginning. He was creepy. He was so creepy towards the kids.
I think there's like going for like a classy, stuck up type of guy.
I got more of this guy's about to like abduct one of these children. Like he really creeped me out of the movie. Jack Black was the best part of this movie though. Come on. You didn't like him as Satan?
I didn't really care at all for this movie.
I liked him a little bit of Satan. I thought some of his jokes hit. No, not all of them, but some of them were really funny. The whole Post Malone thing was funny.
Yeah, Post Malone was funny. It had its moments for sure. He had his moments. He probably. I'll get into my favorite part about the movie here in a minute. But it's the same thing with Borderlands. There's no real punch to the punchlines. You know what I mean?
I got you. This will probably be one that I
like. The funniest joke that Jack Black did was he said, "I'm Satan, not your creepy uncle."
Yeah, that was pretty funny though.
That's the funniest part that he had.
Just from the get-go of this movie, just from the main start, it had a weird vibe to it.
Yeah.
It had, like, you didn't know what it really wanted to be. Was it going to be like a funny movie? Is it going to be edgy? Is it going to be, you know, I mean, it didn't know what it wanted to be, and it tried to do all that. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, it takes such a dark turn about the brother being dead.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that out of, like, thin air. Like,
yeah, okay. So, that's something else that made me mad. He said that he couldn't do anything to change the past, right? But he brought it, like, he made it to where his little brother wasn't dead.
Yeah.
And the parents had no recollection that he was ever dead.
Yeah.
Like, did he just bring him back and make those two people forget only? Right. Now they're in a bunch of legal trouble for faking their child's death?
And while we're talking about that, what about the ending? Where sympathy for your dead brother, and he's like, oh no.
Like the sequel is just him suffocating him under a pillow.
The sequel is him murdering his brother and keeping up with the lie. Oh my God, it's funny. No, this movie's not going to get a sequel.
I don't think it will. No.
Now, don't worry, I'll probably turn this one on maybe every other year. If I remember, it's out there. But it's a very, very, very forgettable movie.
I'll probably never watch this again.
I might watch it if I'm feeling it.
Well, the only reason this even got as high of a rating it as it did was Ben Stiller.
That was a great part of the movie. Ben Stiller is really Satan.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the movie. Like, it turns out Jack Black's just a low-level demon.
And Ben Stiller's Satan.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man. You were pretending to be me.
I think it was the best part of the movie, too. I didn't expect Ben Stiller to be in this.
Yeah, I don't like... I feel like they just threw everything out the window at the end of the movie. Like, the kid didn't come up with an elaborate way to get his soul back.
I agree. The movie had such a strange ending. Like, normally it's like a big climax at the end. It was just like, here's your ending.
Yeah, here. All right, you got the third wish. Oh, no, you used all your wishes for good. I can't claim your soul.
Yeah, that was such a stupid reasoning.
Well, and since your parents was already getting back together anyway, here's your baby brother back.
Yeah, after he specifically said, I can't do nothing to change the past. Yeah.
I think he just brought him back and made the parents forget he died. Because if there is a sequel, they're going to be in some, like, serious trouble.
Because his friends don't remember his brother's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. The CGI is so bad in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the parts were like...
But then again, I will say, no matter how good, I never expect good CGI to come from a straight-to-streaming movie.
Really? I would expect good CGI from, like, a Netflix, maybe an Amazon movie.
No, I don't hold high hopes for CGI from any straight-to-streaming movie.
Don't get me wrong. I don't hold high hopes for, like, Hulu or Paramount. Like, this is where it was released on. But Netflix and Amazon are, like, the big contenders.
Yeah, but Netflix also puts out, like, hundreds and hundreds of straight-to-streaming movies every...
That's very true.
Like, then they could just, like, be really promoting this one for some reason, you know?
Right. I didn't expect Keegan being this. Keegan-Michael Key from Key & Peele. I didn't expect him to be in this. His addition was pretty funny.
I didn't really see too much funny with it.
Really? I just think having him there in general was funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The line where he says, have fun at chemo, that was so funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, the dad's like, have fun at chemo, because he lies about having cancer. That was hilarious. Another thing I want to say about this movie, Kyle Gass as one of the teachers, like...
Yeah, I'm kind of confused. Did Jack Black and him, like...
Yeah, they canceled their tour and everything because he had went on stage and said something about, like... Don't quote me on this, but he said something about, like, death to a president or wish death upon a president. It was Trump. It was something like that, or he said some kind of political statement.
He said it was his birthday, and he had Jack Black had him blow out a candle and say a wish, and he said, "Don't miss Trump next time." It was after he got shot.
That was it. Yeah.
But a bunch of people got mad about it and, like, canceled him. Jack Black canceled tour, said they wasn't going to hang out anymore or something like that.
Jack Black took a statement and was like, he said, "Whether you like him or not, wishing death or harm upon someone is not the way to go."
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, so didn't that happen all before this movie even started filming, though?
Yeah. I don't know why he's made a little camera.
I think it was...
Jack Black has to say that in the public eye.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. He had to say it in the public eye of the public.
So, like, he could kind of sell him out and, like... Yeah.
Like, I don't think James Franco and Seth Rogen stopped being friends.
No, they're definitely friends behind closed doors.
Yeah.
100%. They had too good a chemistry and, like, hung out way too much to be...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. This... I will say this, too, about the story. This movie relies so much on Jack Black. It fails to come up with a good story. It was just like, here's a basic story, but here's your Jack Black. Like,
that's why I think Jack Black is going through a downfall right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to say.
I think that they're just throwing him in everything they can and getting what they can out of him. And then he's going to get blacklisted.
He might, but...
Because all of his recent movies here in the past 2 or 3 years have just been flops. And that's same thing that's happened to Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser, my boy.
But that is what happened to him. Like, he had a couple of flops. His last flop was Furry Vengeance. And then he was just like... Nobody would hire him again.
I love Brendan Fraser. I've never seen Fury Vengeance, but now I want to watch it.
Furry.
Oh, furry.
He gets attacked by forest critters.
Oh. That seems fun. But, yeah, so this kid makes really stupid wishes.
Yeah.
I mean, I get he's a kid and all, but he's still really stupid wishes. You think your friend's teeth are worth your soul?
The plan was he wasn't supposed to use the third one.
Yeah, no. But still, like, I don't know. I gave this movie 2.5. I'm so done talking about it if you are.
Yeah.
Unless you want to say something else, you know. But this was a bad movie.
Yeah. I don't recommend it.
Like, yeah.
Even if we did spoil it for you, or if we didn't, I'm sorry you can't get that time back.
I'm sorry you can't get... Well, I would recommend watching it just... I don't regret watching it. If I don't regret watching it, that's why I give a 2.5. Anything under a 2.5, I consider a very bad movie. 2.5 is just average for
me. Anything I could have done without is a 2.5.
Okay. Anything I could... 2.5 for me is, I'm glad I watched it, but I probably won't watch it again.
Yeah, I'll never watch this movie again.
Yeah. I may not, you know. Yeah, but
if anyway. I ever see this movie again, it's because I've come to your house and it's just on.
And you're going to be on at my house. But we're going to move on to probably, okay, this next movie, Six Underground, give me a rating.
3 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Let me tell you something. I have a top 10 list of my top 10 movies of all time. This is my number 10. If you want to see that list, it is on my Letterboxd account. What are you looking for? Looking for your sword?
No, your helmet.
Shut up. This is a fantastic movie. I'm going to let you go ahead and tell me all the wrong opinions you have about it.
Since you stated all your wrong opinions, I'll go ahead with my right ones. It is a good story, badly told.
Okay. I disagree.
I hated how the movie was constantly going back and forth with where it was on the timeline. Like, all right, they're getting chased through Italy. Now it's going back to this guy getting recruited. Chase through Italy. Back to recruitment. Chase through Italy. And then when the chase through Italy is finally done, and they give a little more story, and then they're like, all right, back before the chase before Italy.
I will agree. I will agree. The only problem I have with this movie is that. The time jumps. Because with the point where he goes and meets the general for the first time and meets like his love interest, I did not know that that was in the past.
Yeah, I know. I was confused to death. I was like, why is he, if he's supposed to be faking dead, why is he taking pictures with this, taking pictures and stuff?
No, I agree. Like that is the one thing that I'll give you about this movie. All your other points are wrong.
Okay. Stupid glare. I hate the camera glares whenever it pans onto somebody and there's glare. Nothing makes me more mad when I can't see what's going on. I just see the rifle barrel and this guy's left eyeball because you're giving me a movie where I can't see because of glare that you've edited into this. That is ridiculous. And it needs to be stopped.
I like the glare effect.
And then in almost every mission, in just about every mission, while they're walking towards that mission, it's a left bottom corner to top right corner pan over. And then a green glare across the screen.
Yeah.
This is just annoying to me.
I think it's great.
Every action scene, honestly, my problem isn't even with the movie. I like the story. It's a cool story. Like I can say that the story itself would have been good if it was told better. But really, my main problem is with Michael Bay. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Michael Bay.
You're talking like you need that helmet.
Shut up. Michael Bay is a great director. This movie's fantastic. That green glare adds a really cool effect. The glare in general adds a cool effect.
I don't think it does.
You don't know.
I think it just blocks the visual so you can't. Like.
Can we agree? Let's find some middle ground first. The soundtrack's awesome.
I can't remember the soundtrack.
I hate you. Soundtrack's one.
I'll give you the soundtrack since I can't remember.
The soundtrack's so good in this movie. Like you said, the story is a great concept, but Ryan Reynolds, come on, he's fantastic in this role.
I'm not saying any of the actors are bad. Like, my main problem is the camera angles and the glare and the back and forth with stuff. Like, the actors did great. Like, I'm not blaming any of them for that. Like, the camera angles, like, they're constantly... Even the camera angles are back and forth, like, through action scenes. It's up here. Now it's down there. Over here. Over there. I can't see what's going on. I don't like that.
I can't wait for you to watch Pain and Gain.
I've seen Pain and Gain.
I know, but we're going to watch it again for the podcast.
Oh.
But Ryan Reynolds adding that little bit of comedy to this was fantastic. I loved that aspect.
Okay. Yeah. This whole movie probably didn't need to happen because Ryan Reynolds is a billionaire. He could have paid a hitman whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Like, he literally could have bought off one of his generals.
He just wants to be Batman.
Wants to be Batman. Like, he literally could have, like, he's a billionaire that helped shape technology as we know it. He literally says that in the movie. Like, all my magnets got put into these cell phones and stuff. And then that's
why Tesla.
And that's why I'm a billionaire now. And then he's like, but he couldn't hire a hitman. Like, $1 million killed this dictator.
So I know that you said you had an issue with the opening scene and all that, but if you can just keep outside your mind that car would have been totaled if this happened, the opening scene's a lot of fun, is it not?
Yeah, sort of. That does bring me to another point.
Getting hit in the face with the grenade from the grenade launcher? Come on.
That does bring me to another point. This is like... It's like a child writing an action movie to me. Like, you just hear, and there's an explosion here, and he does a sick grind down a rail, and he shoots a guy in the face with a grenade launcher.
That's all Michael Bay stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no. The opening, mind you, the opening with the car scene was 20 minutes long.
Yeah, I know.
I loved that. Such a good opening. It's one of my favorite openings to any movie. I will say another where this movie scores a negative for me is Dave Franco was so underused.
Yeah.
Kill him off in 20 minutes? He's a big actor. He is an A-lister. Show him some respect.
Yeah. That didn't really bother me too bad.
I love Dave Franco.
I like Dank Branko.
Dank Branko.
Dank Branko.
No.
I like Dave Franco, too.
Let me find your helmet. Hold on.
No. I had a stroke. You are mentally ill. Well, yeah, I like Dave Franco too, but it didn't really bother me that he died.
It bothered me.
Because, I mean, he's a driver. Most of the missions that they were in really didn't need a driver. Other than that one mission in China. But they got out of there pretty easily.
What mission in China?
They had to rescue his brother from the penthouse or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Again, tell me that's not a fun scene. Them rescuing from the pool exploding and...
That is another gripe I have. I'm not positive. You guys can correct me if you want to in the comments, but I don't think a pool would have caused a tsunami in that apartment building. I don't... Like, don't get me wrong. It would have put a lot of water everywhere, but I don't think it would have been like...
Maybe.
Like, right there at the initial drop point, yeah. But I don't think it would have, like, really forced anybody out.
Maybe. I don't know.
It seemed like a big pool, but still, I don't see that happening.
The scene where he shoots to the pool in the first, where he can get, like, so he can breathe, that was cool. That was a cool, idea. He's like, move over a little bit to your right.
Now, what if he had, like, just... had it all wrong and just completely blew the mission.
He shot it one time, the whole thing breaks. Like.
Yeah, the guys are just like, oh my god, what happened to the pool? And it's just like a dead parkour guy.
I loved the parkour guy.
Okay, so that is another issue I had.
You just had all the issues.
Yeah. Alright, so he wanted to leave the parkour guy in China, right? But the sniper... I was like, no, I'm not leaving any man. Stop the car right now. And then they stop the car. They save him. And then at the end of the movie, like when they're on the yacht, there's like, all right, this is our last chance to get the dictator. Go grab him. He's like, no, I'm going after the parkour guy. Like, to go rescue the parkour guy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, it's showing that he...
Like, it didn't really give him any character development to, like, I'm going to save my guy.
He saw all, like, how his team cared about one another after that. Like, he showed it showed how his team was willing to die for each other. And then they go back to that diner and they're just, like, describing their plans. And it tells, like, whenever they start telling each other their names, it's like, I just saved your life. He's starting to realize... Whenever he says, oh, we're not a family, he's starting to realize maybe they are a family. That's character development, homie. Maybe. But the slow-mo shots are pretty cool in this movie, too. I like the slow-mo shots.
The camera thing does the same thing in the slow-mo shots. Like, over here, over there, over here, over there. In slow-mo, why do I need to, like, just give me the one angle.
What'd you think about them saying there's 9 targets? This was 1 of 9 at the beginning of the movie.
I thought they was talking about the generals too.
No. They said 1 of 9, and he's like the dictator brother's the one.
Okay. I thought they was talking about the generals and stuff.
I thought they were setting it up for sequels.
I'm pretty sure it's just the generals.
Well, the generals would have only been 4.
Yeah.
I would love to see some sequels. It won't never happen, but...
Why did this not make enough?
I don't know. It's a Netflix original. I didn't get no statistics on how much it made.
Yeah. I don't know how straight-to-streaming movies make their money anyway.
I don't know either. The bar scene where he is at the bar where he meets that woman for the first time. You see what he's drinking?
Yeah.
Aviation gin. It's his gin.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds gin in real life.
I seen somebody tweeted, sorry, Ryan Reynolds, drinking aviation gin with Mountain Dew. And Ryan Reynolds replied something back to it, and he says, I call this one, but the guy replied back to Ryan Reynolds and said, I call this one the Green Lantern.
That's funny. What do you think about the scene where he shot his teammate?
Huh?
In the penthouse scene where he shoots his teammate? The guy who's high on laughing gas, and he shoots him. He's like, he shot me. Now I'm pissed. Yeah. That was hilarious. And whenever they kidnap the brother and he tries
to... I didn't understand what was going on at that point. I was like, why did he shoot him? Is he betraying his buddy?
The scene where they actually kidnap the brother and he tries knocking him out.
Yeah, that was funny.
He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, knocking him out.
All 10 different angles of him doing that was funny.
You're not going to let this go, are you?
No. That one actually was just the one angle.
The ending. Come on. The ending was pretty good. They threw the dictator.
I did like that they just threw the dictator to the people.
Yeah.
They
was like, dish out your own justice. That is... Okay. So he plays a good villain. A villain that I can hate. And with a villain that I can hate, I like to see him get a fittable, end. Them throwing him to the people that he's been massacring... As they chase him with machetes and baseball bats and everything. Awesome ending.
Yeah. They're pretty good.
And I will say this. I've said time and time again on this thing that the chemistry between each character has to be good. That's what I love in movies is when their chemistry is good. The chemistry of the team is great. They all have fantastic chemistry.
I don't feel like the doctor lady did much.
I was about to say that. The doctor lady, like, I don't think she had enough because she's the only one on the team it didn't show a lot of.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else, like, got enough development. She was just kind of pushed to the side. The ending boat scene. But the ending boat scene is awesome. Like, where they all have, like, plastic guns and he keeps turning the magnet on. It's pulling pins out of grenades, throwing them into walls.
I'm pretty sure copper's magnetic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They should have been getting pulled around, too.
But they didn't. We actually got, viewer discretion on our TikTok, because I showed a picture of that scene on our TikTok, where he puts a flashbang in the guy's mouth and it blows the head up. That's all we got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely love this movie. I think it's a fantastic movie. I've seen it multiple times. I'm probably going to see it multiple more. What do you think? Like, you done with it, or you got more to say?
No, I'm done with it.
Absolutely love this movie. Highly, highly recommend it. It's been out for a while, so if you haven't seen it, give it a watch. Now, this is one we can also collectively agree was a really good movie.
Yeah, I either gave it a 4 or 4.5.
I gave it a 4. Fantastic movie, Nocturnal Animals.
Yep.
Hit me.
This estranged woman, or not estranged, this woman in a unhappy marriage receives a book that her ex-husband wrote, and he's telling her that he's dedicated this book to her. And the book is about a man who gets his family taken from him by strangers on the side of the highway, and they take his wife and daughter down the road and force themselves upon his wife and daughter, and then kill them, and they leave him out in the middle of the desert.
Yep.
So that's what the book is about in the movie.
This movie tells two stories parallel to one another.
It's
a story within a story.
Yeah, a story within a story. So this whole movie is just one big revenge plot.
Yep.
On the girl reading the book.
Yeah.
So she's reading this book, and she is completely unhappy with her life, how it's going. Her current husband that she left her ex-husband for is cheating on her. She can't sleep at night.
She realized she made a mistake.
Yeah.
She realized she should have stayed with the good guy.
Yeah.
Who was the book writer.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say it. I didn't care for the story outside of the book.
Me neither. I 100%. I'm glad you said it, because what I have here, what I wrote down the first time was, could have done without that. If they just made the whole story the book.
The book, I would have been perfectly fine with that.
Absolutely. I'd absolutely loved that. Don't get me wrong.
Also, the opening scene to this movie.
I paused it, and I called you. I said, you start watching this movie yet? You said, no. I said, bro, look at this. Look at this. Why? It had nothing to do with the plot.
That was completely...
It's like the director was like, get me some fat, naked women in here. Like, yeah,
that, it was just like really fat, super... like it showed everything. Like super naked, like big fat old ladies just dancing and jiggling around.
Yeah.
For no reason.
No.
It had nothing to do with the story. Like at all. They could have completely had... nothing to do with that.
I was so like thrown off. I thought I rented the wrong movie. Like I paused it and was like, checked the title, and then I called you and was like, bro, check this out. Like,
yeah, it had no reason.
The director just wanted to see some fat naked women dancing.
That I'd believe it, because that's the only reason for it. Like
I wish it. I mean, maybe we're missing something. Maybe it's something to do with it. But
we might be missing something, because it's. I know right when they get done dancing, it shows them like at this weird art gala.
Yeah.
But they could have shown a different type of exhibit or something for the art gala. Absolutely,
yeah.
Like, this did not need to be in the movie, like, at all.
Yeah, I don't know. That was strange.
It was hilarious.
It was funny.
It was so funny to me because it completely threw me off, because that was, like, the last thing I would have expected when I see a... Because the only reason I wanted to watch this movie was because I seen a clip of it on Facebook.
Right.
Somebody posted a clip of it.
Yeah, Shannon, like, Michael.
Yeah.
Or Michael Shannon is what I meant, yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this movie. And it was just... And I thought, like, when the movie started, after that scene, I was like, I don't know why it would have done that. But... And then it started going more. It started talking about the girl and her ex-husband reading the book. And I was like, did I tell him to get the wrong movie?
I know, if I'm not mistaken, you asked me that. Like, you was like, is this the right movie?
Yeah, I was like, I don't think this is the right movie. I think I got the wrong movie. Because I seen the movie title in the comments.
Right.
Comments. And I was like, I don't think.
I did not verify this.
I didn't verify this.
Well, I'm glad we watched it. It's one of my favorite movies. I said 4 out of 5 for me. I can do without The Outside Story. But yeah. I see why it was included, because the book is supposed to relate to their relationship.
So, the outside of the book, the woman that is in an unhappy marriage, unhappy life, she...
played by Amy Adams.
Yeah, Amy Adams.
The fantastic Amy Adams.
Amy Adams, in this movie, married this guy that she grew up with. He is trying to be a writer, but she didn't really support him. Right. Like, didn't really like anything he was writing about. And basically started to drift away from him while they was married. And she started to fall in love with another guy.
Yep.
Which is her now husband. But she cheated on him, aborted his baby.
Aborted her husband's baby, didn't she?
No.
I thought that was his baby. That's why he was so...
No, it was his baby. Like, it aborted Gyllenhaal's baby.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, okay.
Right. Her ex-husband's baby, the guy she left.
And he finds her outside the abortion clinic.
Yeah, hugging another man.
And it's raining and he's crushed. Is it raining?
Yeah, it's raining. Yeah. He is absolutely crushed.
Yeah, and
so this whole book is... basically just a metaphor for everything that he lost. He lost his wife, his daughter, and his former self.
Yep. It's a metaphor for how...
crushed, helpless, and defeated that he was.
Yep.
And
that's why she was so emotional reading the book.
Yeah.
She read the book and she starts crying. She can't finish it at times because she's realizing how helpless she made him feel.
Yeah.
And all the hell she put him through.
Yeah, and then... she finally gets a hold of him through email and asks if he'd like to meet up so they could talk about stuff, talk about the book and stuff. And this is the end of the movie. Like he's like, yeah, just give me a.
And he's so like, I don't know if he stood her up or if he ever came.
No, that was his revenge.
Oh, standing her up.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I thought he made I thought they left it open for interpretation.
Like, that's his revenge. He stood her up and basically showed her that he became the writer that she should have believed he was able to be.
Right.
And now he no longer needs her.
Right. She no longer has that hold on him.
Yeah, she no longer has a hold on him. He can do whatever he wants now, and he's a fantastic writer.
This movie is full of metaphors and symbols, and it is... amazing. Like, and the writing is amazing, the acting is amazing. So she's sitting at this restaurant because they make plans, and she waits for hours.
And
you just see people leaving, them closing up the restaurant, and like as it skips forward in time a little bit, and it just ends with like a close-up on her face,
as she realizes what's happened. Like,
she gets all dolled up to go. She takes her wedding ring off like she was going to cheat on her husband. I absolutely love it. Fantastic movie. But I do want to talk about the story inside the story. Aaron Taylor Johnson. Oh, my God. This man. I love anything he's in. He played a perfect psychopath. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he did pretty good.
I think he did awesome.
Is he British in real life?
Maybe.
I don't know.
He played Kick-Ass.
I know that.
I got to review those. Those are my favorite movies.
One of his movies that made me really mad was Godzilla. Nice. Mainly for its lack of Bryan Cranston.
That's true. That was my biggest pet peeve. It kills him off as soon as Godzilla shows his face.
In every trailer, his face was all over the trailer, all over everything. And then, he's only in the movie for 10 minutes.
Yeah, at most.
Yeah.
I like Aaron Taylor Johnson, though. He was a good part of the Godzilla movies.
He's only in one.
Or movie, sorry. I will say this. The story... So, in the book, it's a man, his wife, and his daughter driving across country to a new home. And as they're driving, they get into a road rage incident. So they force them off the road and basically flatten their tire. And they say, oh, we're going to change your tire for you. But really what they do is they... put a spare on, basically make him drive their car. One of them drives his car with his wife and child in it, and they speed off, and that's where they're killed and all that. But I want you to understand, I would have drove on the rim.
Oh, yeah.
I would have drove on the rim, but this would never happened because I would have done killed these three people.
I don't think you're allowed to say that. You're going to have to edit that out.
Sorry. Rewind. I would have used my rights to protect myself from these guys.
Yeah. Wasn't they in Texas?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Isn't Texas a slogan, you don't mess with Texas?
Yeah, like, I don't... Yeah, I just don't see this happening in Texas.
Don't see it at... Yeah, I would not be afraid of the situation. I don't wrong, the situation's terrifying.
Yeah, the situation is definitely terrifying.
But I don't feel like I'd be caught in the situation. No. Me or you won.
No.
Because, I don't know, But again, it's supposed to be a metaphor for how weak he felt and how helpless. Yeah. And Jake Gyllenhaal sells it.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's always a good actor. Yep. He's always good in everything he's in.
Oh, he's perfect in everything he's in. He's one of those actors. Michael Shannon. Awesome. He plays the cop in
I thought it was hilarious. Like, he, like, has cancer, and he's like, what do you want to do with these guys?
Yeah, he's just up for anything. Yeah,
he's like, I'm not letting these guys go. What do you want to do?
He's like, I've watched too many of people like this over the years get away scot-free.
Yeah, he's got cancer, so he doesn't care anymore. That's something else. What happened to his character?
Yeah, his character just went off looking for one of the bad guys. He was like, you take this way, I'll take you this way. We never see him again the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't like the book's ending. Like, he just dies? The dad dies?
Yeah. That's another metaphor within a metaphor.
Yeah, I know, but... I mean, I can see how it works, yeah. Again, Michael Shannon is great. He brings a little bit of comedy to it, because, like, whenever they arrest... I like how they arrest him, and he's just like, tell him how you know him.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? Like, that was really good. But I was... When I first started watching this, I was about 15 minutes into it or so. About 10 minutes into it. I said, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this movie. And then about 30 minutes into it, I was messaging you saying, this might be one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Like,
Have you seen Michael Shannon in The Iceman?
About the killer, the real-life killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The real-life unaliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
That's a fantastic movie. That's such an interesting story, too. But...
Did you watch the documentaries about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Highly recommend those, too.
Yeah.
But highly, highly recommend this movie. I almost gave it a 4.5. I think I might go back and change my rating to 4.5 because it is so freaking good. And, again, it is going to be cemented as one of my all-time favorites.
I don't think they'll ever do it, but I want them to just make a movie about the book within the movie.
That'd be cool. Call it, like... I don't know, something, because Nocturnal Animals was the name of the book.
Yes, just really nocturnal,
real nocturnal animals.
Yeah,
but I'm done with this.
I did a quick review on TikTok.
I saw it, yeah.
And I hashtag nocturnal animals, and now I feel like people's just gonna be trying to look up videos of bats and stuff, but they just get my freaking TikTok.
That's funny. Oh yeah, follow us on TikTok. If we do get enough followers on there, we can actually go live and we can do like live Q&As.
Yep.
Before and after we film our podcast.
All right.
But, so next week, I'm not going to tell what we're reviewing next week. I'm just saying next week we're going to do a deep dive into DC.
Yeah.
The DC universe. So, to start that, we have a fan cast here. We have a fan cast of our DC universe and who we'd have to play them. We did not cast Superman or anyone who has already been casted.
Yep. If they've already been casted, we didn't know.
Yeah, if they've already been casted, we did not know. We'll go back and forth. Start us off.
All right. So, just first guy on the list.
First guy on the list.
All right. So, for Batman,
I got... Can we try a guess first? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Because I thought we did talk about that.
I'm pretty sure I already told you my Batman, but go ahead.
I completely forgot. I know I said that. I don't know who you'd pick.
Jensen Ackles.
Jensen Ackles would be a good Batman.
He already voices Batman in the Tomorrowverse. Like, I just feel like he could actually do the live action Batman justice too.
I would love to see a live action with Jensen Ackles. He's not my cast, but I would love to see him. I do have Jensen Ackles on this list, surprisingly. So okay. Don't look. My Batman is going to be Alan Richardson.
Yep.
He is, I think, the most comic book accurate Batman, like build wise. And for him to play a character like Reacher, I think shows he's got the chops for Batman. Like, Batman needs to be brutal and terrifying, and he's kind of brutal and terrifying in Reacher.
I feel like Jensen Ackles could just be a good Bruce Wayne, and he can get down and dark like Batman.
Yeah.
He can pull off both sides of the coin.
Yeah, that showed in Supernatural.
Yeah.
When he's possessed by the demon, like, he's terrifying. Like just the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
Who's your next cast?
All right. So, for Robin, ooh, I got Chandler Riggs. For anybody who doesn't know, Chandler Riggs played Carl on The Walking Dead.
Which Robin we talking?
Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson. Okay, for Dick Grayson, for me, Chandler Riggs is a great pick for Robin, by the way. Absolutely think that's awesome.
I feel like he can.
That's really good.
I feel like in The Walking Dead, he can get revenge driven, but he can also come to himself.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like he, just the way he played Carl in The Walking Dead and the way he carries himself, he can play a good Dick Grayson.
Absolutely. I would love to see him play Dick Grayson. That's a fantastic pick. My pick for Dick Grayson is Dylan O'Brien. Bren? I don't know how you say it. Maze Runner guy.
I've never seen the Maze Runner movies.
Oh, I'll show you a picture of him after. I think he'd be a fantastic Dick Grayson. He looks a lot like Dick Grayson. But, yeah, that's my pick. Who you got next?
All right, so John Stewart, Green Lantern.
Ooh, yeah, tell me.
All right, so I got Jamie Foxx.
That's a really good John Stewart.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm really just casting that on looks alone. Jamie Foxx is a fantastic actor. I still think he can pull it off. But I feel like he, as far as looks and everything goes, I feel like Jamie Foxx looks the most like John Stewart.
We saw Jamie Foxx in George Project Power.
No.
It's a Netflix movie about superheroes, like, or superpowered guys.
He also played Electro.
He did play Electro. He can pull off having, like, powers and stuff and, like, playing the superhero type or supervillain type. So, I'd love to see Jamie Foxx's John Stewart. But my John Stewart looks a lot like John Stewart from the comics. Aaron Pierre.
I don't know who that is.
Dang it. He played in the new Rebel Ridge on Netflix.
Nope.
I'll show you a picture and you'll just have to agree with me. Sorry, go ahead.
I feel like my cast is better.
I low-key like yours better. But I think mine will look more like him, but yours will do a better job in the role.
All right. So I'm trying to keep the comic book versions of these characters in mind and not what they was in the Snyderverse. So for Aquaman, I got Alexander Skarsgård.
That's my exact same pick.
Yeah. So I feel like, honestly, the blonde hair, blue eyes, I feel like he's the perfect cast for that.
Yep. That's my exact.
I almost casted somebody else, but I ended up casting him in a different superhero on here.
It's wild. We got the same character. That's awesome.
All right.
So next for me, I have Jason Todd.
Jason Todd. One of the Robins?
Yep. For Jason Todd, I have Taron Egerton, guy from The Kingsman.
Oh, yeah.
I watched him in Blackbird, I think it was the show. He would play an amazing Jason Todd. He can be ruthless. He can be terrifying. I'm watching anything with him in it. I watched a freaking 2-hour movie about Tetris, about the invention of Tetris, because he was in it.
All right, so my next superhero is Martian Manhunter.
That's the only one I didn't cast.
I got Idris Elba.
Okay. All right, I see that. That's a good one.
I feel like he can pull it off.
Yeah, absolutely. That I didn't even think about him. That's a great Martian Manhunter. Also, he's just great. He was in Leave the World Behind, I think it was called, the new Netflix movie. The movie's trash, but he was really good in the movie. He's good in everything. For me, I got Tim Drake, another Robin. This one's Tom Holland. He would do Tim Drake the most justice, because Tim Drake's kind of like the quirky Robin, I guess.
Yeah. So. I almost casted Tom Holland as Dick Grayson, just based on his acrobats, and he is a gymnast.
Right.
And that's Dick Grayson's backstory. He's kind of like a trapeze artist, and that's kind of gymnastics and whatnot.
Right. I think the only problem, I was really, really hesitant to use Tom Holland because he's so overcasted. He's so over, like, fan-casted for things. But I'd love to see him as Tim Drake. And the fact that we're getting a Batman movie with a Robin, I'm so excited.
I'm going to be mad if it's not Dick Grayson.
Not Dick Grayson?
Yeah. Like, if the Robin...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If they do, like, Damian Wayne or something, yeah, I agree.
Now, if they do another Robin, they're going to have to talk about the other Robins. Right. Like, they can't just skip over Robins.
Right. It went Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake.
Like, if they don't want to tell their story, I can probably live with that.
But address them.
Yeah.
I would be okay if they done Dick Grayson, but I would personally want more than a Dick Grayson story, a Jason Todd story. I would like for Nightwing to already be developed, to already be a hero, but Jason Todd is the Robin, because I want to see a Red Hood. I want to see a Red Hood so bad.
Okay.
But
so, did you cast the Wonder Woman?
I did.
Who you got?
Alexandria Daddario?
No.
Do we really have it?
Oh, we got the same one again.
That is awesome.
Oh my gosh.
We just gave each other one when we came in here, and it was Aquaman. We were talking about it as we were setting up, and it was like, all right, no more to the podcast. And then that's so funny. I can't see that far anyway.
But that's
hilarious.
I was like, you said Alex, and I was like, what?
Alexander.
No. I was like, no.
That is so funny. All right. She'd be a perfect Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she would.
She looks just like her.
Yeah, exactly like her. Just fluff her hair out a little bit
more. For real. I was looking at her, and I was like, I don't know. I think so, but I don't. Okay, I just put her down. Yeah. Like, I love that. That's hilarious. All
right.
Give me your Joker.
My Joker?
Yeah.
I got Tom Payne from Walking Dead. He played Jesus on The Walking Dead.
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah. He's a good Joker.
I'm strictly cast. I can't remember him from The Walking Dead. I remember seeing him on there, but I'm just casting that based off looks alone. He's got that real slender face.
He looks like a Dollar General Jared Leto.
Dollar General Jared? No, he looks nothing like Jared Leto.
He looks just like Jared Leto.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Picture of Tom Payne right there.
Jared Leto right here.
No. They don't look nothing alike.
What are you talking about? Sorry. Okay. I just forget to put the pictures in.
we're just crazy.
We're just talking into the ceiling.
Crazy people talking.
I have Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe.
Okay. I've always wanted Willem Dafoe to play the Joker, but I've wanted it for so long that I've just given up on it.
Right. He'll never play the Joker, but he'd be a perfect Joker.
Yeah, he'd be the perfect Joker. All right, so the last guy I got is...
I got a few more. All right, go ahead.
But that's probably because you casted all the Robins.
That is true.
I just casted the one. The last one I got is Flash, and for the Flash, I have Glenn Powell.
Ooh, that's a good one. I just feel like he's a little old.
I don't know. I feel like he can... Like, his attitude, I've only seen him in, like, two or three movies, but his attitude in Twisters.
I haven't seen Twisters yet.
It's really good.
I know. I'm it's on Peacock now. I'm going to watch it.
But his attitude in Twisters made me feel like he could play a good Barry Allen.
I love Glenn Powell. I'm a fan of, like, romantic comedy movies, like chick flicks. And Glenn Powell's in quite a few.
Yeah.
And I think he's great in everything he does. I absolutely love Glenn Powell. Flash for me, I got Lucas Teal.
I don't know who that is.
Havoc from X-Men.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a good Flash.
I think he's got the looks for it.
I think he does, too. I think he's a good actor, too. He was good as Havoc.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the rest of my...
I haven't really seen him in much other than X-Men.
I can tell you some more, and you can... If you can name off the top of my head, cast him.
Okay.
Green Arrow.
Norman Reedus.
Ooh, I don't... Okay, that's one I disagree with you on.
I don't know. This is just, you speedball it to me. I imagined a guy with a goatee. First person popping to my head was Norman Reedus.
I don't think he'd be... I'd put Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam? Yeah, he's better. He would be a better Green Arrow.
He looks just like him, too.
Yeah.
Catwoman.
Catwoman. All right, who do you got?
Jenna Ortega. She's got the gothic look that would fit Gotham.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I can live with it. Okay. I can't think of anybody right now.
Supergirl.
I don't know.
I have Florence, however you say your last name, the girl from the Thunderbolts.
Oh, Black Widow's sister?
Yep, Black Widow's sister.
Yeah, why didn't you just say her? Yeah, she'd probably be a good one.
I think she'd be a really good Supergirl. I think she has like the build for it.
Yeah.
Because she already looks like, you know, she could knock your teeth out.
Yeah.
Darkseid, I think, is a really good cast.
Who do you got? Brolin? Josh Brolin?
No, not just Brolin. Michael J. White.
Michael J. White. I don't know.
He would be a good Darkseid.
I feel like he's... I haven't really seen him in a big budget movie. Like, the only one I can think of, and he wasn't even really that big of a character in, was Batman The Dark Knight.
Was in that, wasn't he? I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, he's a mob boss or something.
Have you watched Flesh and Blood or something like that? Or Blood and Bone, that's it?
I think so.
It's really good.
Again, like, he's mainly in low-budget movies.
This man's a real life.
I know, he's like he's a real life badass. But
he's mastered most fighting styles.
Like, I'm not saying I dislike his movies. I really like a lot of his movies. Like Never Back Down 2. Love that movie.
I've never seen Never Back Down 2.
You've never seen Part 2?
There's three or four of them. I've never seen the ones after the one. I tried to watch Part 2, but I just turned it off.
Well, he's the guy who trains everybody.
I might give it a shot. Never Back Down 1 is like my number 7 movie, number 3. Alfred.
Alfred. I did not cast Alfred. I don't, to be honest, I don't think there'll ever be a better cast than Michael Caine.
That's the one from Dark Knight, right?
Yeah.
I 110% agree.
But, however, in almost every iteration of Alfred in the comics, he's bald. None of them in live action is he bald. Maybe in the old TV show, but I haven't seen the old TV show.
And most iterations of Alfred is like the Gotham TV show. He's like a trained fighter, killer.
But isn't he in the comics?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So I was trying to say the comics and the TV show.
Yeah, but he's never bald in any of them. It's just an old British guy.
I will agree the one from The Dark Knight is my favorite. He would be so hard to beat. I have Ian McShane.
Who's that?
He played Hellboy's dad in the new Hellboy.
Oh, yeah.
He played in the Deadwood movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've never watched the show?
I know, but I've never seen the movie neither. I've seen clips of it.
Oh. I watched the first season of the show. It's really good.
I'm going to go back and watch it eventually. It's on my list. It's on my long list of shows to watch. I'm still trying to finish Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Also, I have a Lobo.
I'm going to say you casted Jason Momoa as Lobo.
Yeah. I think he'd be a perfect Lobo. Brother, let me tell you something. I would cut...
He thought he was originally going to be Lobo when they asked him to come in.
I know. I would cut my pinky off tonight with a dull butter knife to get a Lobo movie tomorrow.
I don't care that much about it.
I care that much about it. I want to see a Lobo movie so bad, I can't stand it. It's one of my favorite comic book, like, characters of all time. And then Aquaman, I already told you I got. Wonder Woman, Flash. Last one, Deathstroke. Cast him real quick.
Liam Neeson.
That's a weird cast, but I got Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, he could do that.
He'd be a really good Deathstroke.
Yeah. No, Keanu Reeves.
Ooh, Keanu Reeves. He'd be weird as Deathstroke, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he could do the voice.
Yeah. Just say he's good, but he's, I don't think he's
Deathstroke. I think he could pull off the action sequences. Oh, yeah, and stuff, but I just don't think he could. I don't think he could pull off, like, the cockiness and whatnot.
That's true. And I feel like Jensen Ackles could. We've seen that in Soldier Boy.
Yeah.
But that does it for this episode, unless you have something else you want to add.
No. Like, comment, and subscribe, and follow us on everything. We're just about on everything.
Just about on everything, yeah.
But we will see you guys next week.
Hold up. Next week, we are reviewing Crisis on what's it called?
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
That's what I thought. 1, 2, and 3, and Aquaman 2 to kick off our DC deep dive. And we will also have multiple DC topics. We're going to go in detail on what we predict with the new DCEU. We're going to talk about James Gunn some more. We're going to have screenshots of the Superman that we've seen. Superdog, like, what's his name, Crypto?
Yeah, Crypto.
Like, and I will discuss Superman Lois a little bit. I've been watching that. But yeah, that'll be what we review next week. And I'm really excited to do a DC deep dive. I love DC more than Marvel comics, but I don't like the DC universe more than Marvel universe.
The way I feel about it is I feel like Marvel has them in live action.
Absolutely.
But DC has them in animation.
Has them in animation and comics.
I won't go that far. I don't read comics as much as you do. As far as animation and live action goes, I think Marvel has live action and DC has animation.
I'll give you that for sure because their animation is killer. But yeah, we'll be doing that next week, so make sure to be looking out for that. And with the holidays coming up, we're going to be leaning more into more Christmassy movies. Yep. I know you're not a big fan of Christmas movies either, but
Christmas.
We have to review some Christmas movies. Humbug. We will be reviewing some more Christmas
bleep
movies.
That. Bleep that. Too. Bleep it all.
I haven't learned how to bleep yet.
You better learn. A lot of F-bombs at the end of this episode.
We're never getting monetized.
Yeah.
But also, with the Christmas movies coming up as well, we will also be reviewing Kraven the Hunter, not next week, but week after next, and a new streaming movie called Carry On, coming out with Jason Bateman. We'll be reviewing that week after next as well. And I wanted to go watch Y2K and the Werewolf movie that just came out. Nowhere around us is playing these movies. They're not getting a very popular release. It looks like Y2K, we're going to wait till it comes to streaming, and probably same with the Werewolf movie.
Yeah.
But, okay, that wraps it up. Like, subscribe. See you later.
Later, Gator.